Wall Street may be killing it, but what about the real economy? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Wall Street is off to a blazing start. More on that when we do the numbers. First, let's look at the big picture with Jay Bryson. He is Managing Director and Global Economist for Wells Fargo Securities. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
So we had that strong jobs number out Friday, which led to some gains on Wall Street. Now everybody has had a weekend to dig into the data, think a little more deeply about the big picture. So how is it going on out there in the real economy?
Well, you know, if you look at the second quarter, I mean, it looked like growth was actually pretty strong, maybe as much as 3%. So, you know, in general, though, I would say that, you know, the real economy continues to expand at a, you know, at a modest pace here, but it'll probably be enough to keep the unemployment rate over time continuing to come down.
And what's the Fed going to do with this new information about jobs as it thinks about what to do on interest rates going forward?
Well, so at the end of this month, the Fed has a FOMC meeting. I seriously doubt that this number, as good as it was on Friday, is going to be enough to get these guys to, you know, pull the trigger. Now, maybe what it does do is it keeps them, a rate hike in September. Maybe it keeps that alive. But they're very much into kind of data-dependent mode right now. They'll continue to watch the data that we have, you know, coming out in the next few weeks and take their cues from that.
What else are you watching for as the week moves forward?
As we get to the end of the week, we'll get to some more interesting sort of data. We will have retail sales numbers for June. They'll print on Friday, as well as the CPI numbers for June as well. And so, obviously, retail sales, important barometer to show how consumers are doing, and then obviously the CPI numbers as well in terms of what sort of inflation numbers are out there. So those, I think, will be markets will be watching those numbers closely once Friday rolls around.
Okay, Jay Bryson with Wells Fargo Securities. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mark.
There is a new twist in the ongoing battle between big hotel chains and online travel sites. Hotels pay commissions to places like Expedia and Priceline, but they'd rather keep that money for themselves. So some hotels offer discounts to customers who book directly using loyalty programs. But travel sites are now fighting back by pushing those hotel chains lower in search results. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports on the open warfare over your travel dollars.
Online travel agencies capture about 15% of U.S. hotel bookings. That's according to Cindy Estes Green at the market research firm Calibri Labs. But Green says those sites haven't brought hotels much incremental business.
They've just shifted business that might have come in direct to the hotel or through some other channel.
Still, Green says those sites take commissions ranging from 13 to 35%. And now, some big hotel chains are trying to lure guests into booking directly on their own sites with special member deals, like Hilton's Stop Clicking Around campaign. Geraldine Kalpin is chief marketing officer. She says Hilton's not just avoiding paying commissions to online travel sites, but trying to better serve guests.
If you're booking through a third-party site, we know less about you before we get there.
But Sarah Gavin at Expedia says when hotels offer loyalty program members special discounts that can't be found on Expedia, they won't be placed high in the site's search results.
It's less about it being detrimental to Expedia and more about it being detrimental to the customer.
She says those discounts should be visible on Expedia too. I'm Annie Baxter from Marketplace.
There's a fresh crisis brewing on the U.S.-Mexico border, with fears of a wave of migrant families not seen since a surge two summers ago. Arrivals dropped last fiscal year, but research shows an alarming spike in families and unaccompanied kids crossing the U.S.-Mexico border since October. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams met with families who are making the journey, and she has this story from the border region.
At Sacred Heart Catholic Church in McAllen, Texas, newly arrived migrants sort through neat stacks of donated clothes. Nemesis Aparicio from El Salvador had just been released from a migrant detention center when I met her there. Like many who illegally cross the border in this area, she came with pretty much nothing.
My sister sent me money to buy the tickets, but don't have the money to buy me clothes. That's why I'm asking the lady if she can give it to me.
She's holding a pair of pants and some small shoes for her 8-year-old son, Edenilson Antonio. He's got his eye out for something special as well. He wants a Spider-Man shirt. Aparicio says they left their home because of domestic abuse and rampant gang violence. Along the U.S.-Mexico border, apprehensions of children and their families have more than doubled compared to the previous year. Jens Manuel Krogstad is with the Pew Research Center.
One important thing to keep in mind is that the factors that are causing people to take this long and really difficult journey haven't changed in the last several years.
He analyzed data from Customs and Border Protection, which showed a drop in arrivals last year. But this year, the numbers look more like those leading up to the summer of 2014. That's when a wave of mostly unaccompanied children migrated north.
If those drivers, the poverty and gang violence, continue in their home countries, then it's reasonable to think that more people will continue to take that trip north.
The Department of Health and Human Services is asking Congress for hundreds of millions of dollars in extra funding to care for minors as they arrive. Meanwhile, the U.S. is spending about $750 million to help stabilize El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, with the hope that if things improve there, maybe fewer people will try to come here. I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
The International Women's Media Foundation supported Kimberly's reporting from the U.S.-Mexico border as part of the Adelante Latin America Reporting Initiative. And finally, the Mixed Martial Arts League Ultimate Fighting Championship is selling for approximately $4 billion. It's going to a group of investors led by powerhouse talent agency WMEIMG. It sold for a mere $2 million back in 2001. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.